Okay, good evening everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called The Art of Healing Families. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Sharaka Danaher. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Sharaka a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted by you, our listeners, prior to the call. Now, I first was introduced to Sharaka by a dear friend of mine, Nicholas David Nan, who has also been a guest on People You Should Meet. And Nicholas said that I absolutely had to check out Sharaka's work and her website, and we've actually just been in contact over the last couple of weeks, and we've had some phenomenal conversations and exchanges around families and the intricacies of family systems. And I've certainly been riveted every time we've had the opportunity to speak. And I'm certainly very, very excited about the talk we're doing today. Now, Sharaka, an incredible amount of experience in the healing modalities, and is also a very practiced family constellations therapist and trainer. And she takes her work all around the UK and is also taking the work to countries around the world as well. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest, Sharaka Danaher. Hi, Sharaka.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, thank you for that nice introduction.
Great, so I just thought we'd actually start at the top, and I guess probably the biggest question on everyone's lips listening to the call is it really possible to heal families?
Yeah, absolutely. That's my experience, that it is possible to make a huge difference with this type of work. Maybe I'll just go straight in and tell you a very short story of somebody's healing that they received through this work. It's the story of Roger, who was in his 50s, and he came for a constellation to me a few years ago. And he'd never really had much of a relationship with his father at all, and there'd been long periods of time where they'd barely spoken more than a few words in a year. And as it stood at that time, he would ring home, and if his father picked up the phone, he'd say, "Oh, I'll get your mother. Hi, I'll get your mother. Not even how are you?" Anyhow, we did some work, some constellation work, and sometimes the constellation work can work quite quickly, but sometimes it can take up to 2 years to really make the shift, and in this case, it did take the 2 years. And I was sitting in Roger's front room when his father called him, and he said, and they started to talk, and this was a very unusual event that his father would call him, and this conversation lasted about 50 minutes. And when he came off the phone, he sat there and he sobbed and he said, "I have never spoken to my father like that in my entire life." He was
wow.
So happy, and that week his father called him 3 times.
Wow.
And they've continued to call each other, not quite as often as that, but they've continued to call each other. And his father's even come from the north of the country to the south of the country where he lives to visit him, which is also something that never happened before.
Wow.
So that's the kind of situation that can happen with this work. Of course,
wow.
There's no guarantees when you come, I don't think. Yeah.
That's amazing with the 2 year time horizon.
It can be anything. You know, it can happen immediately. The next day, you find people, like a few weeks ago, I worked with somebody and she said her mum phoned her up the next day after the grief and she told her she loved her. She said,
"Wow, just totally out of the blue."
My life before. So sometimes it can be really fast, you know, just like a click of the fingers. But another time, it can take a long time. And this was a very, very stuck situation and it took some time for it to really shift. Sometimes what you'll see is you'll see certain shifts after the work and then more and more as the 2 year period goes on.
Right. Wow, that's amazing.
2 years is usually about the longest it takes.
Wow.
Because it's not just the person who's come to the constellation who's shifting, it's a whole family and a system that's shifting.
Right. Excellent. One of the things I was very interested in, Shiraka, was how you actually came to do this amazing family healing work through constellations.
Well, I think it was just part of an ongoing journey. I started working in healing work when I was about 19, more by just things that happened rather than a conscious choice for me. When I was working, I was doing body treatments at the time, massage treatments, and I was having a lot of experiences with that, and it sort of led me along a path. So really about 20 years ago, then I was teaching Reiki, and that was at that time very unusual. And then I moved into other modalities, and one of the things that I taught for a long time was colopuncture, which again is a very unusual healing modality. And in that particular method, you can actually you can do ancestral work. And when I was doing that, I was observing lots of things about ancestors and noting lots of things. And eventually, when I did come across Hellinger's work, it was on a workshop that wasn't for this. It was for something else, and somebody just wanted to do one in the morning, and I was fortunate to represent in a very strong role in that constellation. And I'll explain what representing is in a few moments maybe, but as I represented, I got very clear about that this would be something I would teach and something that I would do. So I set about, first of all, working on clearing my own family issues, because I felt, well, if I'm going to hold any space for anyone, I need to be as clear as I can be within my own family. So that's how I began, you know, just working and going to lots of different therapists to see how they did it. And eventually I started to work with Hellinger himself, who is the man who invented it. His name is Bert Hellinger, and he's a German man. He's about 83 now, and he's completely fascinating. And the more that I read what he did, you know, I thought, why isn't this in the mainstream? Why aren't people able to read this when they're young? Well, you know, the relationships, dynamics, and all the types of things that he writes about should be there, available for people, so that they have this understanding. So I was, like, really taken up with the work, and then it moved into my art practice as well. I'm also an artist, and I started to bring constellations into my art. I do installations. A lot of my installations are about family constellations.
Wow, amazing. And what is it that you love most about your work, Shiraka?
What do I love most about it? I really like the place I have to go into myself in order to hold the group. I mean, basically, I can't sit there and have judgments about my own mum and dad, you know, and then try to pretend to help anyone else. So I have to really go into this place of completely accepting my parents, and therefore completely accepting your parents and whatever comes up. And I also really like the way you don't really quite know ever what's going to happen. You can see that there are set patterns, and often the way there is, you know, things turn out can be similar from one person to another's constellation. But there's this unknown thing where you step into leading this process, and you're not really leading it, but facilitating this process, and not knowing how it's going to unravel, how it's going to turn, and how it does in ways that you could never even think of. So it remains interesting to me. It remains exciting to me. It remains a mystery on many levels as well.
Mm. Well, and for those people on the call, Shiraka, who have never actually heard of family constellation work before, I was just wondering if you could actually give people a description of what it is and maybe how it actually works in practice.
Well, basically, it's a work that works under the principle that we're all connected. And that what that would mean is that we're all connected, we're connected within our family system. So even if you have a brother or a sister that you never even heard about, that maybe they were illegitimate or something and you never knew about them, you would be still connected to them. So it's working on that basic principle. And that on some level, you know about the existence of the other, even though you may not know about it consciously, you will know about the existence of the other. And it's a way of shining light onto these hidden dynamics that sit within families and hopefully finding a way to restore love, harmony and hope and sometimes constructive action in families. How the work is carried out, people are chosen to represent your family members. And the incredible thing about this is the representatives begin to feel the thoughts and often even the body sensations very close to the family members that they're representing without any prior knowledge of these people. So they don't know anything about them, yet they know a lot. So in the work, we ask only for factual information. We only want to know about facts. We don't want to know about the feelings and the emotions of any situation. One time when I was representing, I had a severe pain in my left leg. And I had this feeling like I really didn't like the smell in the room. And I was really uncomfortable. I didn't want this leg on my body. And as the constellation unfolded and the person whose issue it was gave a bit more information, what we discovered was that I was representing somebody who had actually got gangrene and died of gangrene poisoning and had this in their left leg.
Wow. So you actually took on the physiology of the family member just by being a representative?
Yeah, well, you can take it on in many ways. Sometimes you know you're set up and you feel very little. Other times you can feel intense hate towards somebody else who's set up, or you can feel like you don't want to know them. You know, it can be many things. This particular one was very much about a physical illness, and I have experienced that before where I've had a really bad chest and felt like I couldn't breathe, and that person had emphysema.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, but again, I didn't know they had emphysema. No, because you're not told that. You know, a lot of... Very little information it depends who you're working with. I've worked with some people who sit there and they try to get every single piece of information about the family picture right from the beginning. I don't tend to work like that. I work more how Bert Hellinger works these days. His work has changed and progressed as the years go on. And I don't tend to ask for a great amount of information at the beginning.
Right.
I may ask for information as the constellation moves on.
Mm.
And when I ask for information, I'm asking for facts.
Mm. Like, is it common, like, as you move through the constellation set up for a particular family, like, is it common for, like, say, if a symptom does come up in someone who's representing, for that to, as the energy dynamic of the family moves, is it common for that the physiological responses to move as well?
Yeah, you can work with illness. If you can work with constellations on many levels, and one of the levels you can work is with actual physical illnesses. And that can mean sometimes that the physical illnesses disappear. I've had that situation where I had an ongoing kidney infection, which went when I knew what it was about.
Well,
so yeah, you can work with it on that level as well.
Great. And I know many people have a very, I guess they have their family dynamics, but I guess we're all parts of different group dynamics as well, such as businesses or communities and various other groups. I was just wondering, do they take on a family-like dynamic, and can you actually use the principles through constellations to maybe change or improve a work environment or a social group as well?
Well, most definitely you can, and it is done in many places. In fact, in Norway, they use it a lot, even in the government. And, yeah, it can be done. It can be used for all kinds of business situations. It can be used for financial situations. I'm working up in Nottingham soon, and there's a few company constellations that are going to be happening there. That's what they want. They want things to relate to their businesses and their companies. So, and what you do find is quite often is what is happening in the business is that can be what has happened to the person in the family. So if in the family they were maybe always feeling slightly on the outside or something, maybe in work they also feel that. So, you know, it can be very similar dynamic in both that shows up.
Right.
I mean, basically, the constellations is working with a dynamic force that is working with conscience. I mean, this is like a dynamic force that lies behind all difficulties and issues that we observe in the constellation work. And there are three basic levels of conscience. And the first level of conscience is described as personal conscience, but it's narrow, it's limited, you know, it's about you're right, I'm wrong, good, bad. It's a way of bonding us together in groups. That's what its main purpose is to bond us in a group. So it has that very limited situation to it. The second type would be more collective, so that would be about restoring balance, and it would take into account people who've been excluded by the personal conscience. And then how this would work, for example, say you had somebody who'd been sent to a mental hospital when they're very young and never visited, something like that, they would be considered as excluded, you know, excluded member of the family. That the personal conscience would be the conscience that excludes them, but the collective one would be the one that restores the balance. So somebody in a subsequent generation would take on that fate and that destiny in order for that person to be remembered.
That's very interesting. Is it a common scenario with a excluded family member for that to reappear
through
the family system?
Very common. Yeah, many people who have isolation stories and excluded stories or feel like they're invisible are acting in this collective conscience in service of the family as a greater whole. But this is an act of blind love. And when we work with the constellation, what we do is we bring the person who's been excluded into the light and honour them. And then the other person no longer has to hold this position, and they can be free to move on in their own destiny and in their own life and be seen
right.
How they want to be seen.
Right. Great. And what's the third level of
That's about the greater whole. It's limitless. It doesn't have good and bad, and it's not about belonging. More like wholeness of being. And this is the place I need to enter in order to actually hold the constellation in a good way. So I'm not sitting there thinking, you know, well, the constellation's unfolding. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't have murdered or anything. It just is as it is. So you're accepting everything as it is. And one of the things, you know, Bert often says when you're training with him is, peace is when you accept everything as it is within your family. So it's not about peace being when your mother changes, you know, stops doing that trick on you. It's about when you just accept it, that that's who she is and that's how she lives. Doesn't mean you have to go along with it, but it means that you accept it on a very deep level inside yourself.
Right. Well, so something must take, like in terms of like your own personal journey to actually hold the space for other people. It must have been quite a process just actually move into that space of wholeness within yourself before you could hold that space.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that I had so many years of work on myself before I began this work. And, very deep work on myself, a very deep journey. Yeah, it's definitely helped me to hold this work in a much better way for people, a much more compassionate way.
Wow. Now, Shiraka, I just wanted to pick up on
a lot of condition, this work. This work is really very much about the human condition. It's very touching. There's often a lot of tears in the groups, but not always.
Mm.
Yeah, it can vary a lot.
Great. And I just wanted to pick up on a thread there, Shiraka. You mentioned how someone being excluded in a previous generation of a family system may actually, you may actually see that dynamic just passed on through the family system in order to honour the person who was excluded. I was just wondering if you could actually share if there are any other types of family dynamics that evolve that end up getting passed on from generation to generation that we may be completely unconscious of.
Well, there are many dynamics. I mean, early death is one dynamic. People dying early, very young, stillbirths. In my family, there are quite a lot of stillbirths. Death while giving birth, that creates an enormous effect on the system for 2 to 3 generations afterwards because it's such a big situation. Abortions are shown to have an effect, especially on the siblings that are, you know, subsequent siblings or previous siblings. Miscarriages, suicides, again, are linked to often violent situations that have happened before. Crimes and injustices, and if your family becomes, say, rich at the personal expense of others, you know, not in a good way, in other words. Mental health issues is another thing that moves down. People being outcast, disowned, you know, excluded, that moves down through generations. Incest, abuse, heavy incidents or accidents, you know, like heavy fates, illegitimate children, illnesses are another one that moves down. Some of these we already know, you know, all of us know of illnesses that move down through families. Another thing that can make a big effect on families is immigration.
Mm.
You know, moving from your motherland to another land, that can make an effect for quite a lot of generations to come. Drug addictions and alcoholism, all kind of addiction stuff we can look at in this work. And obviously wars, they make a huge effect, you know, very genocide, that type of thing. If it's a very strong religious, you know, very strong religious order, that type of thing makes an effect, and murders, obviously crimes like that.
Mm.
I'll give you an example around abortions, because this is also relevant to your question, is could you use it in a business and in work? Somebody came to me who had had, she's a really beautiful girl, very talented, multi-gifted, many languages, really should be doing really well, but, you know, she's about 35 at the time she came to me and very depressed that she never gets recognised, she never gets seen, she works really hard, but she still doesn't get recognised. So we began to work with her family system, and in her family system, in this particular family system, her grandmother had had 5 abortions. And what we did is we brought all these aborted children in by asking other people to represent them, and each one was honoured and given their place in the family. And then we noticed that she was very much linked to these aborted children, you know, that like these aborted children, she was also invisible. The aborted children were invisible and so was she. So after they'd all been honoured, it was, you know, to enable her to walk away from that and say, yes, they are, you know, look kindly on me, and she moved on in her life. And what happened was within a week, actually, her business that she'd been trying to get off the ground for 4 years at this point just took off. And
wow.
Just is really successful now. She's so successful, and she's been seen in many ways, and not just within business, but also with her partner's family, where she wasn't really acknowledged and seen before, and even within her own family, where she wasn't so acknowledged before.
Wow, that's amazing. Now we've got, as I mentioned earlier on, Shiraka, we have lots of questions that have come in from all around the world on different aspects of family dynamics. And I thought I might just start off with a question from Deb Jani in the United Kingdom. And Deb Jani asks, how do you deal with accusations of selfishness and general criticism from a parent if I live the life I choose? She feels left out and makes me feel guilty. Also constant comparisons with other people's children, particularly sons, who are more responsible. I'm an Indian and an only child, a married mother with children.
Hi, this is Johnny. Have I said your name okay? Well, you heard me talking maybe just now about the different types of consciousness. And here, your situation is related to these types of consciousness. So the first consciousness, the personal consciousness, is about fitting in with the family system and belonging to the family system. And so when you move off and follow what you would like to do that maybe doesn't quite fit with your family system, you will experience guilt. And actually that can't be avoided. That's just how it is, because you're not following that personal conscience within the family system, and different families have different consciences. So in some families, you need to go to church every week to fit in with that system, and in others, you don't. You know, in some families, it's very bad if you drink, and in others, you don't. So what you may be doing may be quite ordinary, but within your family conscience, it's not considered okay. So you will experience guilt, and there's nothing you can do about that. Except realize that is just part of the path of following your heart. What I would suggest for you on a personal level, and for anyone else who's in this situation of feeling really tied down by these guilty feelings, is to do a constellation. And how I would work with you is to see what we could do that would give you the most strength and support while still honoring your family and honouring your path. And it would show up as we set the work up. So it's not something I could say, well, this would make a difference. We'd need to set the work up. And by setting the work up, I mean we set up some representatives to represent your family system. That's
right.
It, yeah. Well, that's all I could say for now about that.
Because it must be, like, quite a... I guess as we move into a world that's changing so rapidly, like a lot of the things that people find themselves doing just weren't present like a generation ago or multiple generations ago. I mean, we just look at the advances of technology and just our way of living and being in this sort of global world.
Yeah, things have changed. And in the West, we don't know the second type of consciousness, collective consciousness, in our everyday living. In somewhere like India, it's still very much part of their everyday living, and you see that through the type of the diseases they get. They'll get things like TB, which is more of a collective disease, contagious disease, and in the West you see us getting things like heart attacks and cancers, which are much more of an isolated individual disease, but we are still governed by this collective consciousness in the West, just as much as the East.
Right. That's very
interesting. Yeah, but you see, there is huge changes.
Great. That's an excellent question, Devjani. Thanks for that. This next question is from Gerald in South Africa. And Gerald asks, I'm in a situation where I've been involved in an interracial relationship. I have a coloured daughter. I've had to keep this a secret from my family for close to 3 years because of the fact that the rest of my family are totally against any colour in the family. I love my daughter dearly, and I love the rest of my family too. I'm stuck. I know if my mum gets to know about this, she'll probably commit suicide, and that's the truth. I care for my parents too, as they are both 70 plus, and I need to be there by their side financially and in case of medical assistance. I will also never let go of my daughter. She needs me, and I want to be with her. All of this is stressful for me and affects me, my business, and my everyday life. I am struggling to find a solution. Can you give some advice? Thank you.
Okay. Hi, Gerald. Well, to me, you sound like a really caring man who deeply loves his daughter and cares very much about his family, your parents as well. And are ready to suffer in order to try and prevent other people's suffering. But in this situation, it maybe appears right now that there's no way that someone doesn't suffer. So basically, your daughter is a secret, and this has very strong effects on itself throughout the whole family system, not just in this generation now, but in future generations this will be felt. So at this moment in time, your daughter is living an excluded life from your family. So what I would very strongly recommend is that you do some constellations work. She's obviously still very young, so the sooner you do it, the better. And I would like to suggest that you look into your own family background and see if there is any other members of the family that have been excluded or cast out in a particular way, any particular way. And this actually may be a secret, so it may be difficult to uncover this. And one of the things that happens is when you first start to work with systemic work, sometimes members of the family, even though you don't tell them that you're going to do this, and they can be a little bit on red alert, a little bit cautious with what they're saying to you. So you'd need to be tactful in how you found out about things and, you know, do it in a very tactful way. I wouldn't mention that you're going to do constellation at all. I'm not sure who to recommend you because you're in South Africa, but you could contact me on my website, which is familyconstellationuk.net, and I'll give you that again at the end of the conference. And, you know, if there are enough people maybe in South Africa, maybe I could even come over and do a course there for you guys, because there's quite a lot of questions from South Africa today. I would also suggest that, you know, you look at the mother of your child's family and see if there's also a situation of exclusion that's sitting in her family as well as yours. Probably you might even discover that there was a child of mixed race in the past. You might find that there was a child of mixed race in the past, but you never know until you begin the work and until you start to uncover things you never actually know, and that may remain a secret to you. What I would do personally is I would set up your current situation and see what I could do to give you the most support and your daughter the most support whilst honouring your parents and their sensitivities. And given time, it might open things enough so that there's a way through to make some kind of communication. I would suggest you follow the path of constellations and rather than follow the path of immediately going and telling your parents, which would be nothing short of putting a bomb in the family. You know, it would blow things up in a very difficult way. This is a much softer way to get through and probably a much more successful way. So, yeah, good luck, Gerald, and I wish you all the best and your daughter.
You mentioned a very interesting thing there, Shiroko, about tracing back in the family. And like one thing that just popped into my mind was, so say if you're living in a family where, like I guess those previous generations have passed, and it could be that both parents have died or grandparents have died, and it may be challenging to actually trace the family tree and access that kind of information. How does constellations work when... in terms of actually accessing and healing
them? We can find out quite a lot through just doing the process.
Right.
And what my own experience is it's quite extraordinary. Like one of my experiences is I started to do this work, and I remember my mother really being strange around just before I started to do the first constellation. She was behaving very strange. And my mother's actually very psychic, and even though I hadn't told her anything about what I was going to do, she felt it on some level and was very deeply disturbed. But as the years have passed, she's completely the opposite and is totally happy with me doing this work and teaching this work, and that my parents just get happier and happier. But what did happen is as I moved on, more information started to come out. It's almost like I stirred the pot, and And then things started to come out, like I found out my father was one of 11 children instead of, I'd always thought he was one of 9 children.
Wow.
So, you know, I found out about an aunt and uncle that had died before my father was born. Now, they're relevant to my family because they're part of my family. So, if, you know, if you've never even heard of them, that creates something.
It is very interesting just looking at all the different pieces of the puzzle for the family and just looking at them as all important rather than leaving any of those parts out.
That's very interesting. I mean, one of the main principles of constellations is that everybody is equal. Everybody is equal. Everybody deserves their own place. And when people, what you find in constellations is when people are in their right place, then they have much more successful life. And this is why when there's children missing and, you know, you don't know about it, you don't really have your right place. So, you know,
right.
My father would have said, well, I'm the seventh. But actually, he wasn't the seventh. He was the ninth.
Right.
The ninth.
That's very powerful.
So what you find is as you start working, stuff comes to light and you start getting finding out things and people start telling you things that they never told you. And you think, my God, imagine you never told me that.
Which must be very healing in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think my father was a little shocked when he turned up here and I'd made this art project and I'd completely honoured this aunt and uncle.
Oh, well.
He was safe, you know, he was very touched by it, actually. Yeah, so, you know, I did that for the whole family as a collective, not just for myself.
That's very powerful. Now, this question also comes from South Africa, but this time it's just regarding siblings. And this one's from Malcolm. And Malcolm asks, how to deal with a middle-aged sibling with likely borderline personality disorder, substance abuse, depression, raging anger, lack of memory and focus, and which equals spending what money is left, like all buckets have holes in them.
Hi, Malcolm. Well, it sounds like, from what you described, that your brother has taken something on for the family system. And we can't be sure what that is without setting up the situation. But his symptoms could suggest, and I'm not saying this is exact, because like I said, we can't be sure unless we have set it up. These symptoms do suggest, you know, this depression and low energy, and then there's raging energy. So it suggests two different kinds of energies and this slightly borderline personality disorder situation that you describe as well. So it suggests that maybe he's aligned with two different forces. So and they could be that of the victim, which would be the more depressed energy, the more melancholic energy, and that of the predator, the aggressor, which would be this more raging anger energy that you also describe. And, you know, almost like a borderline schizophrenia, two types of people in one. And this is where a person lines up with two types of energy. Now, what would be interesting to find out, if you need to do some research on this, maybe if there's been any violent situation in your family in the past generations. So to find out if there's been any murders or something like that. And your brother may be taking on something in relation to that. How to work with it? You obviously your brother could come to a constellation, but maybe your brother isn't really in the space to do that right now. So I would suggest you do it. And you can still do a lot that will help your brother. And it may be enough, and it may be enough just to get him to a place where he's stable enough to also come to a constellation and do some work. But we could work very powerfully with it if you came. So that's what I would suggest as a way forward, and that you can definitely help your brother through doing this type of work. I'll just tell you a short story about someone who came And she'd always had a very different, it's a very different situation to you, but it's about a brother and a sister. She'd always had a very difficult relationship with her brother, and she always put it down to the way her parents had brought her up and different things like that. But as we opened up the constellation, what you saw was her brother and her had taken on a lot of the difficult dynamics between the parents. And as we worked on it, we moved the children away from those dynamics so they could move on with their own life. Then what happened was a month to the day after the meeting near the constellation group, her brother phoned her up and he asked her if he could come and stay with her for a weekend. Now, he lived in France, and in the 20 years that she'd lived here, he'd never once phoned her or asked her if he could come and stay. And in the background, the father said, oh, we'll come too. And he said, no, I want to see my sister on her own. So he came and saw his sister on her own, and he phones her now quite regularly, and there's nothing going on. And yet they have very different kinds of lives. You know, he's very much in the holds of the family, doing exactly what the family have always done, you know, going to church in a certain way, having kids and raising them in a certain way. And she's very much in the alternative scene and in a very different world, but they get on great. And all the early conflict of their whole life has disappeared now.
Wow.
So it can make a difference. And it was just her who came, but her brother's reaction is what I'm trying to share with you really today.
Mm. That's amazing. You must have so many stunning stories of reconnections and deep openings.
Yeah, it's very touching. I mean, what you find is sometimes people feel like they need to forgive a sibling because a sibling has done something that they really felt was unforgivable. But what you find is that they, in the constellations, they sometimes, what they need is really understanding.
Mm.
And once they understand the dynamics that have led the sibling to behave that way, then something drops away. And forgiveness somehow becomes irrelevant and is replaced with understanding, and that's a real blessing.
Mm. Well, that's very powerful.
One other very important point, actually, I'd like to say about siblings is it's very rare that upsets between siblings is actually coming from the siblings. It's almost always coming from another place in the system, in the family system.
Mm.
So if you have an upset with a brother or a sister, it's good to do a constellation and see where that's actually coming from.
Mm.
I mean, I can't guarantee it 100%, but in my experience so far, I haven't seen it coming from the siblings.
Well, that's a very powerful distinction for anyone who's been challenged by a sibling to do a bit of research.
Yeah, because it can be actually very, very hard when you have these situations with brothers and sisters.
Mm.
Even if you don't like the brother and sister, it still can feel hard.
Mm.
Because there is a tremendous bond between brothers and sisters.
Mm. That's a very, very powerful insight. Okay, this question comes from Sandra in Australia, and this is just about her partner. And Sandra asks, if your partner is angry and shows you very little respect, is always critical, rarely warm, can't help but get into conflict or confrontation, always raises their voice and is insulting, always trying to make you wrong or pull you down, how do you deal with that?
Okay, so I'd like to answer this in a more general way about partners, because it's difficult, you know, because I can't say to Sandra, well, is this the situation or is this, you know, I can't ask her some facts. She's told me a lot about the emotional side of what's happening to her, which sounds really upsetting and painful for her. But what I really need in order to help her is facts. So the kind of facts I need to know is about anything in her family of origin or in her partner's family of origin that could be creating this kind of conflict. So that's where I'd look first, in both their families of origin. And their families of origin is like their mum and the dad, their brothers and their sisters. And then another thing that can affect partner relationships is past relationships, previous relationships with your first love, if you were married before, if your partner was married before. And sometimes, even though we feel we've moved on, energetically something is still very bonded to a previous partner, and this can cause all kinds of disruptions in relationships. So that's something that we can easily check out in constellations within a few minutes. Another thing with partners to check out is the balance of give and take in the relationship. What is that like, if the balance is equal or if it's very much tipped in one way to another? Other things that I would be asking her is like, have you got any children? Did you have any children with previous partners? Have you had any abortions with this partner or previous partners? All this type of thing can affect the couple relationship. So what I'm looking for is, what is making this effect? She's told me what the effect is, but I'm looking for the facts that could possibly be influencing this. And sometimes I don't ask anybody any questions like this. Sometimes I just tune in and then I get a feeling of how I want to set it up and I work with that, and then I may come back and ask them a few facts. It is possible, actually, in constellation work to work in a very confidential way, even though you're doing it within front of a whole group of people. It's actually possible to hold a very confidential space for people as well, because for me, I'm not there for the interest of everybody else and, you know, to fill in the story so everybody gets the full message. It's more to work with the dynamics with that person in the best way that I can work with them.
Well, I imagine other people, whether they're in the audience or they're in the actually acting out the, one of the roles of the family members as well, they must get very powerful insights just regarding their own family just by watching what's unfolding.
Actually, the thing is, you see, quite often the sneaky part of this work, and this is such a good question that you asked, I'm really glad you asked this, is actually I've had the most incredible insights representing. So when you represent, and you're representing, say, somebody else's grandma. I remember one time I was this senile old lady, supposedly senile old lady, I'll add on the end of that, and I felt marvellous. I was as happy as can be, and the three children were all squabbling over my care and how to care me, and you know, they were making me a big deal, in other words. But for me, I was feeling completely happy, and I said to them, look, why don't you just all stop it? All I want to do is eat fish. And with that, the guy whose mother it was, you know, he nearly fell off the chair. He said, she'll only eat salmon at the moment.
All right.
So there's this incredible part where you can think, this poor woman, she's in pain, you know, she's senile. And actually, I was feeling completely marvellous.
Well,
so much so, it was difficult for me to shift out of the role because I, you know, I felt very playful, very childlike. I was extremely happy. And yet they were all, you know, quibbling about my care and, you know, should I go into a home and all this stuff.
Right.
So, you know, you get these insights and, you know, you get insights, you know, if you represent somebody who's committed a murder or somebody who's, what you discover is that people can commit murders in good conscience because it actually fits with their family conscience that we need to kill this tribe in order for our survival of our tribe, then it's done in good conscience, which sounds very weird, but it can be.
That's very interesting. And how powerful the pull of the family is to go.
It's enormously powerful.
Wow.
I mean, Hellinger would say that there's only two basic causes of misery, and that's something that's within the system that isn't cleared for you. You know, in other words, you're entangled into some situation that's not your situation that entangles you and holds you back, or that you have an interrupted movement. And I think we did get a question, didn't we, from someone who was asking about how do I overcome the effects of no connection with my mother?
With the mother, yeah.
I'm not sure how you say her name. Is it Lenore?
Lenore, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. So I'm really sorry if I said that.
Sorry, I think it's Lenore in the United Kingdom.
About that. But interrupted movement is a movement where your natural flow with your mother or your father or both has been, in a way, stopped, paralyzed at a certain point in your life. And this can happen through some kind of separation. So if the mother dies, or if you go into hospital when you're in your early life, and certainly years ago when kids went into hospital, you know, the parents were only allowed to visit them for an hour a day. You know, that it wasn't like it is today, where parents are allowed to stay in the hospital with them and things like that. So these kind of interrupted movements, or if your mother herself had an interrupted movement from her own mother and therefore, even with the best will in the world, can't really connect with you, that can sometimes be the case, and how we can work with this in constellations. But we work with it in a very different way to how we work with the normal constellations. But it's a very good space to work with it. You know, you can really only work with it in a group. It's a group dynamic, not a single session dynamic. And how this affects the person is often they can't reach out. You know, they have a partner and they see the partner walking away from them, and they know that all they need to do for that partner to stay is to reach out, but they just can't. They can't simply reach out. So it affects that reaching out movement of the child, that reaching out for love, that reaching out for help. And a lot of people will recognise this as I'm saying it. You know, they'll feel like, yeah, I feel like that. Mm.
Amazing. Well, Shiraka, we're coming to the end of our hour. Time's actually flying so quickly this evening. And there's so many wonderful questions that we got in, and unfortunately we don't have time to cover them all, but I think that the terrain that you have covered and the insights you have shared are certainly applicable to probably every family in some way, shape or form. And yeah, I just really wanted to take this opportunity to thank you for sharing your wealth of insights. And like, I have no doubt that there are people on the line that would actually love to find out more about the work that you do, including the workshops you run both in the UK and around the world, and also about your art installations as well. So I was just wondering if you could actually share how people can find out more information about the work you do, and if you have any workshops coming up.
Well, I have a workshop this weekend in London, and there are still some places on that. And if you would like to visit my website, familyconstellationsuk.net, that you can get the contact numbers, and the person to contact for that is a lady called Kaylee on 07973315950. And there are a few places left on that, and then I have one in Devon coming up in a few weeks. The one in Nottingham, I think it's pretty full, but that's in July. That's coming up at the end of July, and in Ireland in October. I do them regularly here in Wales, where I live. I think in Canada it's going to happen in the fall, and there's possibilities of workshops happening in Ibiza and near Lampedusa, near Sicily, which is Lampedusa. So there's quite a few possibilities opening up. My art installations, you can see some of my work on my website and some of it on Vimeo if you just type in Shiraka Danaher. That's Danaher, my surname. You'll see some films, which I'm going to put on my website shortly. I don't have any exhibitions out at the moment. I've been too busy doing constellation work, to be honest, to do that as well. Is there anything else I should say, Damien? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and you also mentioned, we did have lots of questions coming in from South Africa. And are there any other places in the world that you would love to share this work with?
Well, I'm open. Just contact me and we'll see. I am. Yeah, I mean, my kids have grown up, you know, so I'm free. I do have a dog, and she comes to constellation groups with me quite often and even represents, believe it or not.
Wow.
She's very clear representative. I'm basically open to travelling, and I like travelling. But I would need, in order to travel somewhere that's a bit of a distance, you need to have enough people for it to be viable, but also 10 is a good number for at least having enough people to represent and to go into the bigger dynamics. But we can go up to as far as 40 or more people. It's not like there's a limit on that, because when you, like you so rightly pointed out, when you're representing in someone else's issue, you are very much changing your own circumstances in your own life. And so just to be part of someone else's issue is an enormous honour and great gift. And sometimes it can work even stronger than your own, because you don't have any kind of defences up, you know. And then afterwards you think, oh, my God, yes. Mm-hmm. So a lot can happen when you work in other people's issues as well. And we can also do dynamics in groups where we cover a general theme with a large number of people at once. There's lots of ways to work, and sometimes also work with art in the groups. But you don't have to be an artist to do that.
Amazing. And one thing I was very keen to ask you, Sharaka, as well, I was just wondering if you could actually share one of your installation pieces and share how it actually ties into family constellations and how the inspiration for the work came about, and then how you actually constructed the artwork, just to give people a deeper sense of your, like, how you use this work in a creative sense as well through your art.
Well, I mean, constellation is a big inspiration for my artwork, and that's partly because I believe so passionately in this work that I would like to communicate it to people in many different forms and somehow for people to meet it in many different ways. So one of my installations is about secrets and the effects of secrets that they have on the family. And so it's a room, it's an installation piece where you walk into a room that has a soundtrack and sewn into the wall and stitched into the wall are all these people's faces, and they're in the cushion covers and, you know, different places in the room. And it's really speaking a lot about how these secrets and, you know, untruths basically move on and they carry on in your life like things that you can't digest. So there's a cake plate there full of little secrets popping out in ribbons, but the cakes are made of ceramic, so you can't actually eat them because, like secrets, they're indigestible. But it is possible to clear and heal secrets even if you don't ever find out what the secret is. You do not have to find out what the secret is in order to heal it. And I think that's important. Now, I have got other ones I could talk about, but I don't know how much time we've got.
I think that's a very, very powerful distinction just in terms of family secrets, I think. Quite often for people, it can be the itch they can't scratch, and particularly if the secret's embedded in generations that have passed, often it's something they may never ever get to know about, but the fact that they can actually heal it.
Sometimes it's not appropriate to know the secret, and that's just how it is. And sometimes you'll find that in the constellation it just pops out, you know, you'll find someone and the secret's just known, and that's because it's relevant and it needs to be known and it's appropriate. But sometimes it's not appropriate. It needs to go to sleep with the past, but somehow in bringing the secret up and giving it light and representing, somebody represents the actual secret. People can represent anything. They can be a house, they can be a bus, they can be a car. You know, it's not like they have to be a being, a person. So someone can represent the secret, the unknown truth. And therefore, in honouring that, and then just saying, yeah, I leave that secret with you. I honour that it's your secret. And you move on and you leave it in your life. And you can move on with your own destiny in a clearer way. But they can cause quite a lot of problems, secrets.
Absolutely.
I mean, basically, a lot of my artwork is about how the dead are not really, really gone. They're still there, affecting our lives. They're there and mirrored in our lives now. And I've done a piece where I've done everybody represented in these orbs, these ceramic orbs, but they're mirrored in this mirror plinth underneath. And it's very much about how the living are still affecting us, still there, and actually still supporting us. You know, what you really must realise is that the fantastic thing about this work is that you gain the strength of all the generations that were behind you. It's not about just getting rid of all the rubbish that was there. There's an enormous strength in the generations that preceded you that were all needed in order to create you. And once you're freed of those entanglements, you can really feel the strength and your life can become so much more successful and happy. And that's the beauty of this work. It isn't just, oh, let's get rid of all this negative stuff. It's far from that. It's about really taking that wonderful strength of all the generations and all the different gifts that were there before you arrived on this planet.
It's very powerful. Now we're coming to the final moments, Sharaka, so I just wanted to really take this opportunity to say thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. And also just to ask you one final question for people at home. Is there one final piece of advice you'd give to anyone considering whether or not it's possible to heal their family life?
I would say you most definitely can, and if you're looking for a constellation therapist, try to find someone who's worked directly with Bert, and preferably with Bert Hellinger in the more current years rather than 20 years ago, because his work's changed a lot and it's become bigger and more whole. And I would say you most definitely can, and you know, if you have issues with children, which is the one thing we didn't discuss, which I'd really like to, you can as a parent go and work, and you don't need to bring the child with you. You know, it's fine, you can do that. And I do have a contact page on my website where people can write to me. I am away a lot, so if I don't answer you straight away, that's because I'm away. But be patient and I will.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Shoraka.
And I just say thank you to all the people who wrote such very beautiful and sincere questions. You know, I was very touched by the questions.
Absolutely,
the
questions were.
Sorry,
yeah, they were amazing. Probably just in terms of the depth of thought that had gone into this week's questions, probably the most amazing groupings of questions that we've had through people who she met. So I just really wanted to honour and appreciate the time and thought that it did, that people actually put into actually showing up for this call. And
the vulnerability as well, you know, it's really beautiful the way people have shared their deeply painful stories. Like I said, do get in touch, do a constellation. You can always go and represent the first time if you don't feel comfortable to go immediately into your own issue.
Absolutely.
Lots of ways in which you can do this work. And I really encourage you to do it.
Great.
The only thing is you might just get happier and happier. And all your family around you.
It's a great side effect. Now, for those of you who would like to listen to this call again, I will be making it available on the People You Should Meet recordings page tomorrow morning, so you can actually go back there and listen to it as many times as you like for free. Also, it's up there as a total resource for people all around the world who are looking to inspire their lives and to transform in really dynamic and positive way. So if you feel that this material would impact a friend, a colleague or a loved one, by all means take the initiative or the step forward and actually share the recording as well, because you never know, you may just change someone's life for the better. Great, so that's all we have time for this evening. So Shoraka, once again, thank you so much for sharing your insight.
Thank you for being so easy to talk to.
Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show.
Okay then, bye.
Okay, and we look forward to speaking to you all soon. Take care.
Bye.